We have been discussing the idea of evolving faith. And as we talked about this idea of evolving faith, we have realized it's not about the rules. We realize that to have an evolving faith, we have to have a proper view of tomorrow. And we do realize that an evolving faith means that we're going to have to incorporate some of the new with the old. Just a minute, I forgot to do something. Don't light the dark. Send the light. There you go. So we've been having this whole conversation of evolving faith with this cool little backdrop from this movie called The Cruise, which is about a bunch of cave people. And we've been following their story, so I want to kind of get the story from where we left them last week to where they are at the beginning of that clip, because remember, at the end of last week, the Cruise lost their cave. Their cave was destroyed, and now they stand on this ridge, and they are looking out there, and they see a whole new world. And just so you know, it wasn't their choice to go into this whole new world. They were attacked. See, they had been hiding in their cave all these years from this one creature that just seemed to stick around and was waiting to have the last little snack before it moved on. And now that the cave is gone, it snuck up behind them, and now it's time for them to go, because if they don't, they're going to be dinner. So they find themselves in this brand new world. And it's a world that looks quite different. If you remember at the beginning of the movie, everything was rock and it was brown and it was just kind of there. And the new world is almost like the Wizard of Oz. Remember when Dorothy went from the black and white to the Wizard of Oz and was all colorful? Well, they kind of did the same thing. They went from the rocks to everything is colorful and lush and green, and everything is all different. And well, they met some characters and some creatures that they just had never seen before. These creatures were bigger than they had imagined, and these creatures were faster than what they had ever thought about, and these creatures attacked them from all sides versus creatures that came on head on. And I want you to notice something. I want you to notice they are trying to survive in the new environment using the same old tactics as before. They're still throwing rocks. They're still trying to climb to safety. They're still looking for caves to hide in. They're still forming family kill circles. And I guess you can't blame them, because you know what? That's all they know. It's how they got to this point in their life. And so why would they not rely on those tactics in this brand new world? But in case you're wondering, those tactics in the brand new world they now find themselves in, if they continue to do those things, it's going to get them killed. You see, they're going to have to move beyond, and I want you to pay close attention to Eep's decision. Because Eep began to watch those birds as they circled around into the sky. And she heard the cry, kill circle, and they all formed a little circle, and they picked up the rocks. Like, what's the rock going to do against a swarm of birds? And well, the birds began to swarm, and she realized it's not going to work. And so Eep made a very brave decision. She stepped away from the traditions. She stepped away from the way things were supposed to be doing. I want you to see how hard that is, because even with his beloved daughter out there in the front, there the birds coming. Did you notice Grug? He was trying to reach out to get her, but he just couldn't let go of the rock, which was really doing nothing for them, because it wasn't even a cave. It was just a curved rock. And well, she called for some help from somebody that had been there. She remembered that if she blew the shell, Guy said he would come, and she didn't have the shell anymore, so she picked up the only thing she could, and she broke it open, and she began to blow for help. And you know what? She put her trust in a person she barely knew and a method she totally didn't understand. Remember, she had just been introduced to fire, and she thought it was something that Guy made. She tried to squeeze it out of him before. She doesn't understand how it works, but she does understand something. What they're doing isn't going to work, so I better find something new to do. I just want to let you know, that's not even today's sermon. That's just something for you to tuck away in your mind as we are moving across this, that sometimes you just have to make some different decisions. Today's sermon is about the end of that clip, afraid of the darkness. Now, I want you to remember we had Chunky the Death Cat, as he was nicknamed, and there he was, and Thunk Crude thought it was hilarious that this great big cat was afraid of the dark and was going to run away. That is, until he remembered something. They're afraid of the dark. I mean, they're afraid of the same dark that the cat is afraid of. And as the shadows began to come out and they began to back up and the darkness began to envelop them, you could just see the look on the crew's face begin to change, did it not? I mean, they were there from horror of being eaten to horror of what comes next. And so I wanted this morning to begin by defining the word darkness. Darkness is defined by our good friend Webster as a partial or total absence of light. Now, I just want to let you know something. I find this a dumb definition. I really do. And you know why? That word partial. There is no such thing as partial darkness. Either it's dark or it's not. And if you introduce just a little flicker of light, then it's no longer dark. Now, it could be darker, but it is not dark. Darkness is not just a partial. Darkness is the absence of light. Now, if you look down through Webster's dictionary, there's a second definition given right behind it. Darkness is also defined as wickedness or evil. These are people that seem to lack goodness in them. They seem to lack a moral compass. And honestly, these people scare us, don't they, as the church? We see people out there that seem to lack goodness, and for some reason, that darkness causes us to tremble. So this morning, I want to kind of do a Jesus thing. I want to talk about the moral darkness that we don't understand, by comparing it to the physical darkness that we see, that we are able to see. And so this morning, as we begin to talk about darkness, the first thing that you need to know is the dark can be a whole lot of fun. It really, really can. Remember when the little birds start popping up from the little grass and the crew's like, oh, aren't they cute? They're kind of fluffy and they're pink and they look kind of cool, and the crews have never seen something like this, and they're looking in amazement. And you know what? That's kind of how darkness is. When it begins, it can be kind of fun. My family is mortified at the idea that when I was a teenager, we used to play this game called Ghosts in the Graveyard. And if you've never played it, it's called Hide and Seek in the Dark. And that's not the part that mortified them. What mortifies them is up from the road where my parents live, there actually is a graveyard. And it's the old-fashioned graveyard that actually has tombstones, not just the plaques in the ground. And we used to play ghosts in the graveyard in the graveyard. We would sneak out at night and climb the fence, and this is where we would play ghosts in the graveyard. And this mortifies my family, but I want to tell you something. It was a lot of fun. I mean, the darkness can be a lot of fun. I mean, after all, we all know how our relationship seems to blossom when the lights go out and things get dark. See, the idea of darkness is that, you know, even if it is fun, if you stay in it long enough, eventually it becomes scary. Think about those crews as they were standing there, and it was all good when the birds were cute until it wrapped around whatever that creature was and decided to have dinner. And all of a sudden now, it ain't so cute no more. You know, I can remember being out there playing Ghost in the Graveyard, and when you were all done and you got over and you were walking back home at night, and it was one of those nights, and it was one of those windy little nights, and things just kind of in sounds and shadows, and when the group all split up because we each lived in different directions, and then you were all by yourself walking home, your pace picked up a little bit. Number one, you want to make sure you got home before Mom and Dad realized you were gone. Okay, by the way, I'll cut this out from the sermon so they'll never know. But you want to get home before they realize you were gone. But also, you do realize now you're alone in the dark. And there are several reasons that darkness becomes very scary. You see, according to John chapter 12, verse 35, it causes us to not know where we are going. Then Jesus told them, "You're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before the darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not even know where they are going." Now, I can believe this because, you know what, I have been in a car at night, and I do understand that when you're driving down the road at night, those street signs seem to move a lot faster than they do in the daylight. You're sitting there and you're trying to find your street, and you kind of have to slow down a little bit, and you go crawling down the road looking for the right street sign, because you know what? It's easier to lose your way when you're walking in darkness. Even in my own house, we've all had those experiences when you're asleep and all of a sudden for some reason you have to get up. And even though the furniture's in the same place it's always sat for years and years and years and years, I cannot tell you how many times I've stumped my toe on the bedpost. And it's been sitting right where it's been sitting now for 6 years. That bed hasn't moved an inch. But you know what? When you're trying to walk around in the darkness, it's very easy to lose your way, to not know where you're going. See, when we walk around in the darkness, it causes us to have a lack of understanding and create separation. This is what Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18 says. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. You see, as my life walks around in the darkness, absence of the light of God, then eventually I begin to forget. I begin to lose my understanding. I begin to lose my way as I begin to walk and I walk and I walk. You know, it's a lot harder to find your way back. Even when you know exactly where you came from, if you don't have a light, I've told this story before, but it's one of the most hilarious stories that we ever did on in our dating mission. For some reason, I had the bright idea. I was just starting to date Deb, and we said, you know what? I'm going to impress this girl. We're going to climb the peaks of Otter, and we're going to watch the sunset. I'm going to tell you something, it was an awesomely romantic experience, except for we forgot to take a flashlight with us. So here we are at the top of Peaks of Otter, and the sun goes down, and it just never dawned on me, oh yeah, I got to get back down the mountain. Now luckily there was somebody there that had more sense than us, and they were there, and they had a little light with them, and so we followed them back down. And this is before we had cell phones with the apps and all, so we followed them back down, but the way back down, we could have gone the same way that we came up, but now we couldn't see the path because the sun was gone and it was all dark. And so we were separated from us and our car because of this darkness that has come between us. And that's exactly what happens in our life. As we continue to walk in the darkness and we continue to wander around in our life, trying to figure out how not to be afraid, sometimes we get separated from the very mission we were called to do. Staying out in the dark too long, it causes us to stumble. Yeah, I've had this experience. Can't tell you how many times I've asked the kids not to leave their toys on the floor. Because when you walk through them and you weren't expecting it to be there, there you go, right over top of them. You don't see the holes and the potholes. We used to play, I did a lot of things in the dark, just so you know that. I think I lived most of my teenage life in the dark, but we used to play capture the flag in the dark also. And I remember this one episode, there was this guy, he was Mike Ballon, he had gotten our flag, and he was running back through the woods, and I'm chasing this guy through the woods, which is a sight, because I'm not a very fast runner, but all of a sudden, I'm going along, and you know what happens? The ground beneath me disappears, because you know what? There was a hill that I never saw coming, and down I went, down the hill. Of course, Mike, who knew that hill was there, he went around it, and so we lost the game, because you know what? I stumbled. I couldn't see where I was going. And so the dark becomes very scary because, you know what? Things aren't what they're supposed to be. And ultimately, if I stay out there too long, utter chaos is what I find in my life. You see, darkness can be very scary because when I don't know where I'm going and I don't know where things are and I don't know how things are supposed to work and everything seems to be just apt to get me, then darkness becomes the point I begin to look around. And you know what begins to happen? I focus on all the issues that are surrounding me. I focus on the birds swarming, and I focus on Chunky the deaf cat, and I focus on the fact that my cave is now walking. I have all of these issues, and as the darkness begins to settle in, we all like to do it, don't we? We like to retreat back to our nice, safe rock and just kind of wait it out. There are some things that we need to understand about ourselves when we continue in the dark. Did you know we started in darkness? All the way back at the beginning, we started in darkness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. And when I read that verse, at one time in my life, before I had a relationship with Christ, before I had accepted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, you understand, I started out in the dark. From the moment sin entered into my life, and I could not tell you what my very first sin was, but trust me, I'm pretty sure it probably entered early. From that point on, I was wandering around in the dark, trying to figure out what it is that I need to do, where it is I'm going to go. I started out at that point. And that's hard for us to understand sometimes. Because you see, sometimes we live in the dark so long that we forget that what the light ever looks like. It's one of our experiences as a kid when we had Caleb and Benjamin and we went up to the Luray Caverns. Have y'all ever been to the Luray Caverns? They like to do this experiment. They get you down deep in those caverns where there's an absence of light. There's no sunlight. There's no nothing. They make you cut the cell phones off or put them in your pockets. And then they want you to stand there and they ask you to do this. Okay? And then you know what they do? They cut the lights out. And you ever heard that old saying, you can't see your hand in front of your face? You literally can't see your hand in front of your face because there is no light. And you have to really get into the idea that as you're standing there, you know when you wake up in the middle of the night and you wake up and you're there, and if you sit there long enough, eventually forms start to come in because even in that darkness, there's still just a little bit of light in the caverns. This does not happen. You can stand there, and you can stand there, and you can stand there, and you will never begin to see any kind of a form come in front of you because there is absolutely no light. And according to Ephesians, at one point in our life, every single one of us start at this point where there is no light in our life, and we wander around in this darkness, and we wonder, how on earth do we ever find our way out? Well, while we started there, we don't belong there. That's a pretty big deal. You see, while I was running around in the graveyard, I do understand I did not belong to the graveyard. At least not yet. Maybe someday, but not yet. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong in the night or to the darkness." You see, while I sometimes play in the dark, and sometimes I spend way too much time in the dark, it was never God's design for me to remain in the dark. You see, God understood that separated from Him, when man chose his own path, that God understood that in that separation, we would wander and wander and wander. And even though there were the rules and the regulations and all the things that were supposed to bring us closer to God, more rules came in, and you know what we found ourselves? More darkness. And the more things that we tried to put in our life to produce light, the more darkness we ended up with. And around and around and around we went until we come to the conclusion, you know what? I don't belong here. I don't belong in all of this darkness. Now, if I don't belong to the dark, but I'm living in the dark, then there is a very important concept, and that is darkness and light can't coexist. Remember that definition I gave you of what Webster says darkness is? It is a partial or absence of light, and I tell you, I have a problem with the partial because darkness and light simply can't coexist. It means that there's a choice I have to make. I either choose to stay in the dark or I choose to live in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 says, "If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth." See, this idea is that I can tell you all I want, but I'm not living in the darkness. And you know what God says we're supposed to do? Look at our life. You see, if I'm still wandering around and doing the same old things that I was doing, it says I'm lying. But you know the funny thing is that we always look at that. Nobody here likes to be called a liar. We all struggle with that. You know why John points this out? Not because he's worried about me lying to people out there. I mean, I could tell you my life is perfect. I could tell you my life is great. I could tell you that all these things are going well. I could even quote scriptures to you. I can do all this stuff. And I could probably convince you, even if I'm walking in the darkness, I could convince you that I am walking in the light. You know who God's word that we're lying to? Ourselves. Think about that. I lie to myself. I tell the lie so many times that everything is okay, that everything is happy, everything is good. I'm not walking in the darkness. I am what I am. And eventually I begin to believe the lie myself, and then I begin dropping back into the idea of, well, how do I measure? Well, am I living life by a bunch of rules? Am I doing this? Am I doing that? Am I checking off the boxes? Am I punching my ecclesiastical time clock? And all of those things go along. And eventually I convince myself that I'm okay. And then we do understand the problem with that, is because if I convince myself that I'm okay in the dark, that I had this little bit of light, that that is what it was meant to be, then my faith never evolves. I just stay exactly where I am. I never change. I never seek a deeper relationship with Christ. I'm simply satisfied, stuck in what I call light, even though it's darkness. Now, to overcome darkness, you know what we need, right? We need some introducing of light. There was Eep. I like that name, Eep. Easy to spell, too. I could actually spell that name. There was Eep, and as those birds were going around, and it was circling, and she stepped out there, and she's blowing her horn as hard as she can blow, and she's not trying to scare the birds, no. She understands that something that has to, she's about to be consumed by that darkness. Those same birds that just ate that great big walking creature are about to eat her family. And she's blowing her horn because she wants God to come and rescue her. And when he arrives, I want you to notice what he does. The first thing he does is he produces light. John chapter 12, verse 46 says, I have come into this world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Do you see the two sides of the coin? You see, Jesus said, I came into this world. I came jumping into your darkness. I came there so I could be a light. Now, that's important because now I have a choice. I can either wander around in the darkness, I can stay in the chaos, I can live in fear, I can worry about the next thing that's around the corner that's going to take my life away from me, I can struggle with all of the things that I don't think work for me, I can struggle with that, I can stay in the dark, or I could choose the light. Jesus makes this very clear. He says, I have come into this world as a light. Now, Jesus came and he gave his life on a cross. They placed him in a tomb and he rose again with a single solitary purpose that we no longer have to live in our darkness. That darkness that we chose way back at the Garden of Eden when mankind decided my way over God's way, now he is saying no more. But you know what? Just because the light has come, that doesn't solve the problem. As Guy is there and he lights that fire and he's blowing on it and he gets the torch and he's getting ready to hold it up, did you notice the subtle thing he did just before he held the torch up? He reached over, put his hand around Eve, pulled her close, and then held up the light. See, eventually, we have to be pulled out of the darkness. John chapter 8, verse 12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, there's two words we'll come back to in just a moment, will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, I find that interesting because Jesus does not say the verse that I am the light of the world and whoever follows the rules. No. Well, okay. I am the light of the world, and whoever follows tomorrow. No. I am the light of the world, whoever follows the traditions. Those aren't the words he used. You see, the problem is we're trying to find our way out of the darkness, but we're not following the right things. What did Jesus say? He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, whoever pays attention to where I'm going. Now, that's a scary thing, because if I'm going to follow Christ, where did Christ go? I don't know that I like that path, because Christ took this life all the way to the cross. Don't you think that's what Jesus meant when he said, if you deny yourself, if you choose to follow me, you deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow. You see, this idea that I am going to follow Christ means that I am going to go wherever he asks me to go, even if it means sometimes I have to let go of the safety. Even if sometimes I have to do some things that I don't understand. I want you to imagine the apostles for just a little bit. These 12 men, we spent the entire summer last year looking at these guys. Imagine what it was like when Jesus asked them to do some of the things he asked them to do. When you've got 5,000 people sitting up on a hillside and Jesus says, sit down, let's have a fellowship supper. Okay. Did you pack food? Because I didn't pack food. You got enough money to go? I don't have any money to go buy this. When he begins to look around and he's standing there and he's walking across the water and Peter says, hey, if it's you, tell me to get out of the boat. And Jesus says, come on. You think maybe Peter hesitated for just a minute? Pondered the thought? I mean, Peter knew water his entire life. Jesus was constantly pushing the disciples beyond their understanding simply because they would have a relationship and follow him. That's a big deal. Because Jesus says it's one of two things. Either you're following me or you're not. If you're following me, then you're going to live in my light. If you're not, then you can continue to live in your darkness. And we can add all of the package around it that you want. But that's the honest to goodness truth. See, we can live our crude theology, and we can be afraid of the dark. I want to tell you something. This world is getting crazy. It's getting nuts. And there's a lot in this world that common sense people should be afraid of. It's really, really getting complicated in this world. And there's a lot of things out there that are going to be that you should be afraid of. But what about us as the church? Are we supposed to allow those fears to consume us to the point where we pull inside? Are we always supposed to be focusing on what the dark is going to do for us? Or does our faith need to evolve beyond that? And that is coming to the light. You see, Jesus didn't come and tell us to go out and tell the world about the darkness. What did he command us to do? Go out and tell them about the light. You see, the world already understands darkness. How do I know they understand darkness? Because they're living in it. They're living in it to the point that sometimes they don't even realize it's darkness. They understand how crazy the world is getting. I don't care if you go to a church or not. You go out and you talk to people. Everybody thinks the world is getting a little bit on the crazy side. They don't need a message of darkness because that is where they are. They need a message of light. Because you know what? Have you ever been in total darkness like the caverns? Let me finish that story for you, because when they brought those lights out and you couldn't see your hand in front of your face, it wasn't but just like 2 seconds. If that, I felt this tug on my shirt. And you know who it was? It was Caleb. Because all of a sudden his world had gone from light to total darkness, and now he's clutching into something that he knows is stable. But you know, they eventually flipped those lights back on, and when the lights came back on from total darkness, I want to tell you something, in that little bit of light, it seemed awful bright. But the funny thing is when the lights came back on, he immediately stepped away. Like, what, me? Nope, but me? You do understand. He didn't need me to tell him about darkness. He needed me to tell him about light. Son, this darkness that we're in isn't going to last forever. They're going to turn those lights back on. And that is what we, the church, need to learn how to do. to stop having the theology of being afraid of the darkness and start having the faith that says, I want to share the light, because that is